I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. You already read the scripture. Let's dive into it. So 2 Kings, okay? So in 1 Kings, starting in chapter 17, there is the story of Elijah. You probably heard of Elijah in Mount Carmel. He's very famous for that event. And there is King Ahab and Jezebel. That was a horrible time during the history of Israel. So Elijah at that time was the prophet. So when we go to 2 Kings, Elisha is the prophet. He's going to be the prophet. So Elisha become Elijah's servant. Okay, you following me? Elijah, Elisha. So Elisha, knowing how much power that God placed on Elijah, Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2 asked Elijah, I want a double portion of the spirit that God placed in you. I want God to use me more than he used you. And Elijah said to him, if you see when God is taking me, you will receive it. And as they are walking, all of a sudden, there's chariots of fire and with horses of fires, just like an Uber driver, just pick up Elijah. And Elisha saw it, and now God starts using Elisha. So now we are in chapter 6 of 2 Kings. So it doesn't say why, but all of a sudden Syria decided to attack Israel. So two things I want to share with you this morning is that, first one, in every crisis in your life is an opportunity. One, to experience the power of God, and two, for you to respond according to God's action. Okay? Experience the power of God, and for you to respond. So verse 8 to verse 14 in 2 Kings chapter 6. As I said already, for no reason Syria wanted to attack Israel. Verse 9, but the men of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows even our deepest secret. So the king of Syria, he has all his strategies, he has all his tactics in place. He is plotting to attack Israel. Elisha's connection with God helped him understand, or God told him, what the king of Syria is about to do. So he sent word to the king of Israel and told him, this is what's going to happen. Make sure that you don't go down this place. I believe it would have been a different turn of events if the king of Israel didn't obey the word. So every time you hear God's word, you have a choice. Either to listen and do, or to ignore it. So the king of Israel, he obeyed and he didn't go down that path. So when the enemy thought that they were attacking Israel, actually they were fighting against God himself. So what they didn't know, they thought that Elisha was just a man, just like any other man. Yeah, he is, but he is God's spokesman. One thing is very important to realize in this story is that in the ancient East, physical war had something to do with spiritual war. It was more about whose God is more powerful. Whose God is going to rescue you? Is your God more powerful? Your country gonna win. If your God not as powerful, you're gonna lose. And this is why you know the story of David and Goliath. David said to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear, with javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, amen, the God of hosts. Because it's more a spiritual fight than a physical fight. So Elisha's name means God is my salvation. God is salvation. And throughout the life of Elisha, you can see it because Elisha did more miracles than Elijah. So verse 11 and 12. Every time the king of Syria tried to attack Israel and set camp in such and such a place, the king of Israel heard of it. So now he is frustrated. Now he believes that there is a mole among us. There is a spy among us. We have to deal with that person. Who is here is telling the king of Israel. Who is here is for the king of Israel. Who is here is telling him all my tactics. Let's deal with that person right now. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord. None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. He knows even your deepest secret." Like the psalmist says in Psalm 139, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even in the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." There is no secret place. There is no hidden secret for God. God knows our deepest thoughts. We don't need to say it for him to know. He knows it. Amen. So as long as Elisha is still alive, the king of Syria is in trouble. As long as you and me stay in the word of God, study God's word, the enemy will be unsuccessful. Because if we stay connected to God, the enemy is allergic to God's word. Every time you speak God's word, he sneezes. He's allergic to God's word. So when they told the Syrian king that it's Elisha, now he has to do something with this guy. Okay? He does what a king would do. He sent his soldiers to attack this guy. Let's get rid of him. Let's just seize him. So that's verse 13. He wanted to see for himself. Okay, even though his servant said, "It's Elisha." Okay, he even told the king of Israel, "Your deepest secret, even things you say in your bedroom, he knows." He said, "I want to see for myself." He wants to surprise the guy who knows his deepest secret. So what he did, he sent soldiers. Soldiers around the city where Elisha was. The king thought, "It's no big deal. It's just a man, one man. Let's just go get him. Let's just go seize him. Let's see if his God can stand against my chariots of fire, my chariot and horses. Let's see if his God can protect him." So he sent his soldiers. But what the king didn't know is that Elisha, as God's spokesman, is the representative of God where Elisha is. He's speaking of God's word. So basically, coming against Elisha, you're coming against the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the sustainer of everything, the creator of the world. You're coming against God himself. So every crisis in your life is an opportunity for God to intervene, for God to intervene in your life, for you to see God's power. Because what's happened, sometimes God will let you be in a situation that only him can fix. And for you to realize, "I know it was you. It's not me." God will let you hit rock bottom for you to realize that he is the rock in the bottom that's holding me.
Amen.
One of my favorite preachers said this once, a woman of prayer is the kind of man, kind of woman that when his or her feet hit the road, hit the floor each morning, the devil says, "Oh crap, he's alive. He's awake. She's awake." Because he knows that this person is going to stay in prayer. And the more you stay close to God, the further the enemy is going to go from you. So, growing up in Haiti, I got involved in doing voodoo, witchcraft, with my family at a young age. But one of my sisters, she is a believer. She would, every night, she would open her Bible and read and pray every night. But in the meantime, my mom and I, my other siblings, you know, I was 8 years old, so I was just following my mother. The voodoo priest in our community called my sister one day and said, let me talk to you for a sec. He said to her, "How come every night when I'm doing my ceremony, when I'm passing by your house, I can't see it? And when I finally see it, it is surrounded by fire." The thing is that she's the only one in the house praying. And God is protecting the whole house because of her. So in your house, you might think like, "I'm the only believer." Don't feel discouraged because of you. God is protecting the whole house. You, because of you in this world, this is why the world is not destroyed yet, because you are the salt. You're saving the world. So the enemy surrounded Dothan. That's where Elisha was. Okay? Because that's verse 15. The king wants to see for himself. So he sent chariots and horses to surround the city. There's no way out. So Elisha's servant wake up in the morning. I believe that's what, you know, we men, that's what we do. Wake up in the morning to go use the washroom probably. And he got out, and what he saw, he realized that he's hopeless. He's hooped. He's done. There's no way out because the whole city is surrounded. He did something that we human beings would do. So he ran inside, freaked out, and talked to his master. "Elisha, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" What he couldn't understand is why Elisha stayed so calm, so cool, calm and collected. "Elisha, what are we going to do?" He said, "It's okay. Those who are with us outnumbered those who are with them." "Wait a minute. It's only you and me here. There is nobody else. What are you talking about?" One thing to notice is that Elisha didn't pray for God to send an army. He didn't pray for God to protect him and his servant. He didn't pray any of that. But he prayed that God would open the servant's eyes. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 121, "I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." In Psalm 131, David said, "I quieted my soul like a child, like a weaned child in God's arm." So now, Elisha and the servant needs to do something. Who is in control? What's going to happen? We are done. We are hooped. There is a story about a four-year-old little girl who wants her mom and dad to read to her every night the Three Little Pigs story. She asked that every night, constantly, and all of a sudden, the dad had a brilliant idea. So he recorded the story. So he said, "Honey, here's what you're going to do, okay? Instead of me reading it to you tonight, you're going to have it, and you can press play whenever you want to. Just press play, and you will listen to the story." And she didn't want that. He said, honey, it's the best thing. Like, you can just press play and there you go. And she said, but daddy, I cannot sit on its lap. I need to sit on your lap, listen to you telling me the story. So the reason why Elisha was so calm is because he knows who is in control. He was able to see already who is around him. He was already know that God had the chariots of fires and horses of fires surrounded him. This is why he said, those who are with us outnumbers those who are in the world or the enemy. One thing God is teaching me now is know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I don't know if any of you this morning are facing a mountain or you feel like, just like Elisha's servant, feel hopeless, powerless. One thing I want you to know is that God, know that, be still and know that He is God. So He got your back. But what you're going to do, you're going to open your eyes to see. Because the problem is because we are not seeing how God sees what we are going through. So every crisis is an opportunity for you to see God intervening in your life, for you to see God's power. The problem is that because we're not seeing properly, we let what we are going through basically want to kill us. Because we are not seeing properly. The presence of God in the situation changes the equation. You just need Him. Just say, God, help me see like you see. Because if I can see the way you see, I will not act, I will not speak the way I'm speaking now. Just help me see the way you see the situation. Because what God's going to do is going to turn that mess you're in into your message, into your testimony. He's going to turn that problem into a place where you can stand and shout it out. It was God who did it. I remember I went through an earthquake in Haiti in 2010. Where I was approximately in my university building, 500 students and professors were trapped and buried alive. I walked out, only dust on my face. No bruises, no broken bones, nothing. I can just look up and say, it was you. Amen. It wasn't me. It was Him. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes to see. One thing I want you to notice in this passage here, we'll see that later on, the verb to see. Because you can look, but you're not seeing. My wife would tell me all the time, Sammy, can you go in the fridge and take this, and I will look. I don't see it. And she will say, look. And I'm looking. I don't see it. And she will come, and she just grab it. I'm looking, but I'm not seeing. The servant looked around, but he didn't see who was surrounding him. And when Elisha prayed, God opened his eyes, the servant's eyes, and he saw. So in the Holman Old Testament commentary, Max Enders says that, quote, the significant thing is that the invisible army had been present all along. Elisha's prayer was not that they arrive, but that their presence be revealed to his servant. Before anyone had known of the need, God's protection had been in place. What the servant sees now changed his perception of the balance of the power. The enemy's superiority had only been an illusion. They thought they were in control, but real power lay elsewhere, end quote. So the second thing I want to share with you is that every crisis is an opportunity for you to respond according to God's action. So don't ever let the size of your problem, the size of the mountain, determine the size of your God. That's not what David did. When everybody around him saw Goliath as a mountain that they cannot climb, David didn't see him like that. David saw him as an uncircumcised man, as a man who is not under God's covenant, as a man who doesn't have the God of Israel as his protector. This is why David was able to to attack the giant, Goliath. Something that's very important, verse 18 to 23. God opened the eyes of the servant. He saw chariots of fire, horses of fire. The enemy didn't see that. Not because you're God's people. Not because you're praying all the time means that the enemy will not attack. He will attack. You see that in this passage? Even though Elisha prayed for the servant's eyes to be opened, when he looked, he saw, and the second thing he saw as well is the enemy is coming. The enemy is coming to attack them. And as they are coming, Elisha prayed again, God, strike these people with blindness. And that's exactly what God did. When we pray, we have to believe that God is going to do what we ask, if it's according to His will. Something very interesting we need to see here is that Elisha prayed, the servant saw what he couldn't see. Elisha prayed, God strike these guys with blindness. When God is for you, He will confuse the enemy. One of my best friends in Haiti, his mother recently passed away, but his mother was a voodoo priest. My friend is a believer. Every November 1st and 2nd is the darkest days in Haiti. That's when they celebrate Gede. Okay, Gede is it's like Halloween for us here in North America. Hence, this is why my family, we don't celebrate Halloween, okay? Is the spirit Gede? The spirit Gede is the first dead person buried in the lot. So that person become Gede. So his mom, every November 1st and 2nd, will call on the spirit Gede to come and have a word and do the ceremony. That means every November 1st and 2nd, my friend had to leave the place, his house, to go to somebody else's house for those 2 days. One year, I was talking to him. He said, Sammy, I'm not leaving my house this year. I'm going to stay home. And I know my mom's going to be mad, but I don't care. I'm going to stay home. So, November 1st, he stayed in his room, reading his Bible and praying. Reading his Bible and praying. And his mother was in the other room. In Haiti, oftentimes, the voodoo priest sanctuary is connected to the house. So the mom is praying and calling on the spirit. The mother is calling on the spirit and nothing is happening. And in Haiti, if you are a voodoo priest and you're calling on the spirit and you are not getting possessed, it's obvious that you have done something wrong and the spirit is not happy with you. So now everybody is kind of concerned, like, what did you do? She said, wait a minute. She went into her son's room. And she opened the door. The son was praying his Bible. He was praying and reading his Bible. And the mom said to him, son, you have to leave. You can't be here. So when he left, Spirit Gede showed up. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is no rival. So, verse 19 to 23. So Dothan was about 11 miles from Samaria. So Elisha prayed that God strike these people. And God did. But that was not with physical blindness. Because if that was the case, they would not be able to follow Elisha for 11 miles. But God did something that they could not see. Right? So they followed the guy they've been looking for 11 miles. Like a blind man. They walked straight into Samaria, and Elisha prayed again. God opened their eyes, and God opened their eyes, and they saw, and they felt the same way the servant felt earlier, hopeless, powerless, defenseless. And they saw themselves as good as dead, because they know where they are now, there is no way out. This is why the king of Israel said, hey, should I, Elisha, my father, should I just kill them? And he said, no, don't kill them. In the ancient East, when you captured soldiers, probably you will put them into, like, they will become like your slaves. They will be like into slavery. You're not going to kill them. This is why Elisha said, don't kill them. Put food in front of them. Serve them. Again, in the ancient East, if you sit down with somebody that, to eat, that means you are associating yourself with them. This is why the Jews, the Pharisees, were so mad at Jesus, because he's sitting and eating with so-called sinners, the lame. That means you are associating yourself with them. And after he fed them and they drank, they left. They never come back to attack Israel again. So every crisis in your life is an opportunity for you to see God at work, but every crisis is an opportunity for you to respond according to God's action. Let me leave you with that illustration. I remember before I had glasses, okay, I saw the world. I think I saw the world properly. Okay, I see colors. I was fine. Until one day, I went to see an optometrist. And he said, well, you need glasses. I said, no, I don't. I can see. I can read. He said, no, you do. So I put my glasses on the first time I remember. Put my glasses on. Everything becomes so bright. I saw the world through my glasses. Maybe you don't have glasses. Maybe if you do. When your glasses get dirty, you see the world through a dirty lenses. Everything is blurry. But as soon as you wipe it, you clean it, you can see it clear. What I'm trying to say is that ask God to see like He sees. Because if you can see again the situation the way God sees it, if you can see the problem you're going through now the way God sees it, He will change your perspective. I'm not saying He will get rid of the problem, but He will change your perspective. You will see the problem differently. It will become an opportunity now, not a problem, because God is in the equation. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. Thank You for the opportunity to be in Your presence. Thank You because we know the crisis in our lives, Father. If we can see them the way You see them, Father, that will build our faith. Father, give us more experience, Father, so that we can grow our faith, Father, and that we can know, and like David, we can say, You come against us with sword and spear and javelin, but we come in the name of the Lord. David was able to say that because of his past experience with You, Father. Build our faith. Help us to see like You see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.